You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
For CJLO News, I'm Luca Caruso Moro. A new campus project is making Concordia more accessible. Maya Locke Edelbaum has the story.
Concordia University's Center for Gender Advocacy is launching the Mapping Project. Its goal is to determine the needs of trans, queer, and disabled students at the university. Shayna Hadley is a coordinator of the Mapping Project, and she says universities consistently ignore trans, queer, and disabled students' experiences.
There are a lot of gaps across the university regarding the knowledge professors and service providers have when it comes to treating trans, queer, and disabled students with respect and addressing their needs, but also addressing topics of gender diversity and sexuality and disability in the classroom environment.
Concordia's trans, queer, and disabled students have trouble locating and using gender-neutral or individual bathrooms, among many other problems. Another big issue is that professors are not equipped with the knowledge or training to accommodate these students. The Mapping Project wants to change that.
To kind of shift that dynamic of students having to advocate for themselves, instead having professors and staff have more access to more resources to better understand the needs of like queer, trans, and disabled students.
The project is using interviews and online surveys to determine the barriers trans, queer, and disabled students face. Right now, these students have limited resources available to them through Concordia. And according to Hadley, the available resources are underfunded. Maya Locke Edelbaum for CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal.
To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
Had a shotgun to my head, they said I wasn't worth the bullets. Now the world is my trigger and I'm here to fucking pull it. Once had a shotgun to my head, they said I wasn't worth the bullets. Now the world is my trigger and I'm here to fucking pull it. Still here, still here. I can't hesitate. Eyes wide open, pupils dilate.
Hatebreed, as we all like them, with looking down the barrel of today. Could you really tell? And so, as you may know or may not know, I'm JP from the Iron Club, and here's my co-host laughing in background, Hunter. Say hi, Hunter.
How's it going, JP?
Pretty good, pretty good. I just had a Super Bowl dinner with my with my belle famille, as we would say in French. I don't, the term is blanking out. My girlfriend's family.
Your girlfriend's family.
I had the best ribs I had in a while.
Really?
Today, yeah, they were really good. So shout out Belle Mama.
Were they
you did good? You did good.
Were they catered, or what's? Where are they sourced from?
I don't know. I don't know where they came from.
Just ribs just showed up. And you,
I just ate, but they were good. Also, one thing that you might know or might not know is that you're lucky that I'm here because it's Super Bowl night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge sports dude.
I literally walked in and you were watching hockey highlights. Literally as the game is playing now. And it's done. It should be done now.
Yeah, it should be done. Yeah. So probably
congrats. Who won the Super Bowl? You want to do a CGLO announcement?
We'll check afterwards. I don't know who won. And so today we have a special show. Very, very special show.
Okay.
Why do we have a special show, Hunter?
We're doing an interview, no? Well, we have a recorded...
Yeah.
No, it's live.
No.
No, okay, it's a recorded interview.
Yeah.
JP will be interviewing me for half an hour.
Almost half an hour. Not that bad, not that bad.
No, who did you interview?
I interviewed Laws Taylor, the lead singer of While She Sleep, UK metalcore-ish band.
Oh, cool. Because I've never heard of them.
They kind of, like, shifted towards what, like, new metal-ish sound a bit.
Okay.
So, like, we talked about it a little on during the interview. So.
Mm.
You're probably going to hear it. It's 27 minutes long, so.
That's a long interview.
Yeah.
It's pretty short for a talk spot for our show, though.
Yeah. You're not going to hear much of us today.
Just a lot of you.
Yeah. Me and Laws. So we're going to send you right onto it because we might be late in other stuff. So here is, you're going to hear Faker's Plague, their latest singles that While She Sleep released. After that, some ads and then the interview. So here is Faker's Plague. Do you have anything to add, Hunter?
No, I have nothing to add.
So here's Faker's Plague by While She Sleep. You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM. I'm losing the world.
Pearling, cast on, toxic masculinity, astrology, bind off, yarn forward. What do all of these terms have in common? They'll all be said during CJLO's Stitchin' Bitch on February 6th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Downtown Art Hive, located in EV Building 5775. Be sure to bring your crafty projects and your hot topics. That's the CJLO Stitchin' Bitch on February 6th. See you there.
Hello, friends. Do you enjoy sweet melodies gently caressing your ears like a summer breeze? Then go elsewhere, because here at the Noisy Lot, we listen to nothing but the loudest, angriest, and heaviest music this side of the Dakari. Join me, your host, Oren Loft, as I take you through a ride of the heaviest and strangest bizarre assortments of music on CJLO 1690 AM.
So here's the interview with Lost Taylor. Have fun.
What's up, guys? My name is Lost Taylor, and I am the vocalist in band While She Sleeps from the UK.
Okay. So, Loz, is there a question that you're tired to be asked?
I mean, I'm guessing there's a few, but off the top of my head, I'm not quite sure. I don't know. Let's see how it goes, and if I get one that I get all the time, I'll be like, yeah, that's one of them.
Okay. In previous interviews, you mentioned the origin of your band name is about you saw an article talking about a woman who murdered her husband in his sleep, and you changed the he for a she, and that reminded you of Sunken Ship, right?
Loosely, yeah. Basically, back in the day when we were all really young, it was when sort of like death metal was really popular, and where we're from in the UK, it was like, and probably across the world really, it was like everyone tried to have the most sort of like gruesome name and the most gruesome lyrics at the time, proper like death metal style, like talking about decapitating people and all this gore stuff. And so basically, yeah, that was kind of the trend back then. So yeah, the band at the time, this was before I joined shortly after, but at the time, the guys were all sort of partying around the table, and someone just flipped open the magazine, and at this time the band were looking to try and find a new band name and change it up from something else that they were called. And they turned to this story in a magazine where this woman had found out that her husband had been cheating on her, and sleeping around and stuff like that. So he... the story was that she chopped off his penis while he was sleeping. So the name comes from that. So instead of while he slept, they changed it at the time to while he sleeps, and that's how they got the name.
Okay.
But then, since then, because obviously everyone grows up and you know, like looking back and reflecting on the band's name, it's not like the most amazing band name, but in a poetic sort of way, and in a way of like what the band has turned into and what we sort of sing about lyrically and stuff now, it's quite nicely poetic. Like I think about like what the world in complete darkness, or like you call vessels and ships a female, so while she sleeps, that's some like one of the first t-shirts that we ever put out was like a sunken vessel that was just like dormant at the bottom of the ocean. So in a more poetic sort of license, I kind of think about that.
Okay. But me and my friend are kind of arguing about this, so I need you to settle this once and for all.
Yeah.
Is it more like the Titanic that is sleeping, or the Santa Maria that is sleeping in your band's name?
I don't know what the Santa Maria looks like. I'm going to say Santa Maria.
Okay. Why?
Is the Santa Maria like more of a pirate ship?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's more like a Titanic kind of ship, then. That is what I envision.
Okay. So a big, huge chunk of metal... deep down in the freezing cold water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In the abyss.
So let's talk a bit about So What, your most recent complete album.
Yep.
I had a maybe a weird question. Maybe you had this one before, maybe not, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Why are all the titles of the song on the album are written all in caps? Are you mad at something, or who are you screaming at?
No, I think it's literally for the aesthetic.
Okay.
I think when you go large and just straight capital in titles and stuff, it just makes it bold and it makes it stand out and it makes it sort of look nice and tidy. So I think that's why we just sort of swayed towards using all caps.
Okay, so you're not screaming at anyone.
yeah, we're always screaming at everyone. But yeah, we're not shouting at people that are looking at the back of the record case or whatever.
So with that album, your sound kind of changed since the previous album, and yep. So did a lot of other like metalcore bands in recent time. What are your thoughts on like general labels in like 2020 and going forwards?
You mean labels in terms of like genres and things like that?
Yeah, what do you think about like classifying people in, well, bands and genres?
Yeah, I mean, I've grown up like through a lot of different changes in like the rock scene from where I live, and from there being no internet to being internet, and then to being physical sales being huge, through to physical sales of music being at the all-time low. So I've seen a lot of different ways different sort of paths that the music business, if you like, has gone through. And I just think that there's that much music out there now that you need to be doing something different, and you need to be standing out. And I also think that you don't really want to be copying anyone now, because I feel like it's so easy to see that when I'm sort of down by another band. I take too much of an inspiration. So for us, for While She Sleeps, we've never wanted to be a band that puts ourselves and confines ourselves to any box. And I think in that respect, it makes the recording times and writing music together in the band, it makes that a lot more exciting when you can just not be too worried about if you're sounding like a certain genre, or if your fan base is going to be accepting of a new sort of dynamic or a new sound or a bit of a new style. I think when we released our second to latest album, we released that through a pledge campaign, mm-hmm. and the response that we got was insane. And that, I think what that did, without sort of knowing it at the time when we did it, but I think what that did for us is gave us a huge reassurance that our fan base is still very much behind us. And I think with that came the ability to relax a little bit in a studio and be a bit more free and experimental with sound, and not worry too much about how our fan base will react to certain things, because I think what we found out is that they are very accepting, and when we are in a good mindset and we are happy and excited about new things and what we want to do, we produce our best work, and that then reflects into the people that are listening. So we're very lucky in that way that we haven't been shunned by our fan base for not being metal enough, or not, being a punk rock, a straight down punk rock band. Or we mash up the genres in our band quite a lot, and we're all influenced by a lot of different music as well as the same music. So I think what you hear from While She Sleeps is basically a huge collaboration of everything we're all into rolled into one. And yeah, we like to keep our fans on our toes, and so no one really knows what to expect next from us,
which is kind of good, because some bands kind of replay everything the same way. So like,
yeah, definitely, that to me is so boring. Like, I want to pick up a record or get a record off a band that that are putting out something new and be like, oh, that's new for them, I can see what they're doing. They're like trying to expand, and they're trying to like change things up a bit and stay exciting. So for me, I like it when bands throw in some new stuff. I think it makes it interesting.
This last album and your latest single, Faker's Plague, are kind of a criticism on modern society and modern mentality throughout society. So in your opinion, if the world would like took everything they had and like try to make it better, should people take more influence from Caesar salad or recreational drones?
Should they take more
from Caesar salad, like influence from like Caesar salad as a whole, any way you take it, or recreational drones?
Or recreational drones? Recreational drones.
Why is that?
I've got no idea. Because it sounds better than a Caesar salad. That's a tough question.
Yeah, yeah. It is also a silly question. I have a more serious one coming up, so don't worry. So you just finished touring I think Amsterdam, and you had a show 4 days ago in Manchester.
Yep, that's right. We've just finished off our UK run. Yeah, the 26th, Sunday the 26th of Jan was the last one in Manchester. Yeah,
and you toured with Every Time I Die and Vane.
That's right. Yeah.
And so what was the most mental show of that tour?
Different shows sort of stand out for me for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the Brixton show, London Brixton Academy, was obviously sort of, it felt like a bit of a career-defining moment, really. The venue is a really prestigious venue in the UK. 5,000 people. We managed to sell it out, which is incredible for what feels like a few punk rock metal dudes from Sheffield. And it's always been sort of a goal of ours to reach that level where we're like, we sold out Brixton. We've seen a lot of bands play there that we really like, and so that for us was a huge moment.
Mm-hmm.
And such a great show, like the energy from the crowd and just the sing-alongs, getting some back to us. Everything about the show was amazing. We had loads of friends and family there, so it was a really special time. The another show that stands out for me most was Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
It was the sort of second date on the tour, and usually by that time, you're sort of still getting warmed up. But again, Brussels was like another like huge sold-out room. Yeah, the same vibes really. It was the first night on the tour. We got to use like the full setup, how we had it planned, and how we sort of envisioned it. And the show kicked off, and the band felt good on stage. So that was a really special one too. But really, the whole tour for us was incredible.
Nice. And so you're taking a bit of time off before you start your North American First at Lightning tour in February.
Yeah,
right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And so what are your expectations for the North American crowds?
My expectation is to get over there and play some really sort of hot, sweaty punk rock shows in like tiny rooms, in like really, really sort of run-down kind of like cool rock bars. I don't know if it's going to be that, but that's what it kind of feels like we're coming over there to do. We've obviously toured America a little bit, not as much as we probably could have. I've had a few throat surgeries during the time I've been in the band, which has often slowed us down for making it overseas, especially to America. Like, there's been a few times where we've had stuff booked in and unfortunately had to sort of cancel. So it's been a long time coming, I think, and hopefully we're going to have a really special time. Like, I just hope that, you know, a few people turn up. We're still relatively unknown in the States. I know there's sort of a handful of people out there that are into the band, so hopefully we can grab some attention and hopefully people show up to watch us play, and it'd be a nice pleasant surprise if we have some really busy shows.
I feel like your expectation will be met. It's just a hunch of mine, so.
All right, well, that's cool. Hopefully.
You mentioned your throat surgery. Is it true that you're kind of like the most injured guy of the band? Like, so far, you had the most injury?
I wouldn't say the most injuries. I don't know many guys in sort of metal bands that have had more than three surgeries. I've had three surgeries on a polyp on my vocal cords. For some reason, we're always getting injured. Like, Matt's knees popped out on stage. Yeah. Like, I rolled my ankle and fractured my ankle not long back. And we're always, I think we go quite hard. And you know, the consequences of that are sometimes breaking yourself a bit too much. So, yeah, we all go through it at some stage.
Hmm. Well, at least you learn to live with it at some point. Like, I know... You have a bump on one of your ribs because it kind of broke and you didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. How do you know that?
I've done some research.
Yeah, I dived off a balcony at a gig. I don't know where it was. It wasn't that long back. I dived off a balcony and I was feeling some discomfort in my rib cage and I was like, didn't really feel right, and then. But it wasn't bad enough to sort of go to see anyone about it or anything. It was just like a pain that just kept, was quite persistent. And then I came back and went to the hospital about it when I got back to the UK. This was like months later because it healed itself into a bump. And I was like, I need to go and check what this is. And they were just like, yeah, you must have cracked your ribs. And it's just healed strange. So that whole time I had a cracked rib and I didn't even know about it.
You guys tour a lot.
Yep.
Well, you toured a lot. Now you're taking a break just to take a breather. But you toured with Bring Me the Horizon, Parkour Drive, Architect, Asking Alexandria, Cancer Bat, Straight from the Pat, and a lot of others.
Correct? Yeah.
And so which one of them, like of your past tour companion, had the most influence on your current sound so far?
Tough one. Out of the bands that we've toured with, that's a really tough one to answer. I mean, all the bands that you've listed are kind of like friends of ours through touring.
Mm-hmm.
What was the list again?
Well, it's like the most well-known names. So Bring Me the Horizon, Parkour Drive, Architect, Asking Alexandria, Cancer Bat, Straight from the Pat, and I remember one of them was Die Hard is Murder as well.
Yeah, I think in terms of being sort of an older guy now, if you like, mm-hmm. I think that when I first heard Parkway Drive years and years ago, I think that was the era of music that really influenced me heavily to get involved in that style.
Mm-hmm.
I was heavily into the sort of movement when bands like Unearth and Darkest Hour and As I Lay Dying and Killswitch Engage, that sort of like first wave of like the OG metalcore came through. When I heard that sound, it literally made me like get the CDs of the bands that I liked and like try and scream to sound like, you know, Tim Lambesis or Howard Jones. And so that was really the movement where I like really started taking notice of that genre. So I'd probably say from that era of bands, from the ones that you've mentioned, I'd probably say that Parkway Drive was the band that's probably most influenced us.
Okay. Oh.
We actually did our first ever US tour with Parkway Drive as well.
Yeah.
We were out supporting them in like 2003 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. And so you mentioned metalcore a lot. Well, most of the band I just listed you are metalcore bands, or were metalcore bands. In your opinion, what makes a good metalcore song?
It's a tough one. I think what makes a good metalcore song is just, you know, the whole thing. It's gotta be heavy enough and driving enough, but still have enough hook to it. If you're taking sort of the classic like As I Lay Dying formula, that band is so good at like being heavy as fuck, being heavy and then but then like still having massive uplines. And I think that it's a weird question in a way, because I think that is one of the reasons why I am into what I'm into musically, but I think that's also one of the reasons why nowadays I get so bored with metalcore as a genre.
Yeah.
It feels to me a lot of the time like bands just know now that you write a heavy breakdown and you put a big hook line in there, and that's enough to be a metalcore band. And it's just, I can usually hear within the first sort of 5 seconds of a song if I'm going to enjoy the band or not. And that's just because I've heard so much regurgitated metalcore that, that it has to be something really different now to make me listen.
Okay. So I wasn't going to bring that question up, but now I'm going to. In a previous interview, you said that you recommend Norma Jean to fan of While She Sleeps. In 2015, yeah. I think.
I don't know if I'd necessarily recommend them to fans of While She Sleeps. In terms of, like, if you like While She Sleeps, you'll like Norma Jean. I think that they're quite far apart in sort of sound and style. But for me, they're such a great band.
Mm-hmm.
I just really, really love Corey's voice. I think he's just...
Yeah?
I think he's just nailed, like, his vocal style. And when I hear him, I was like, I wish I just sounded like that. I wish I just sounded that good.
So my question was really simple. Is like, what are your thoughts on their most recent album, All Hail?
I think it's great.
Is it the kind of metalcore that you look for that is not like regurgitated?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. It's, you know, I think I did like a little piece on the band, a little write-up that just sort of explained how I sort of felt about their new thing, gave them a bit of a shout-out as like a record for people to listen to. I think that it's just their new record, it shows a bit of something new, as we've spoken about before, you know, like, not doing the same stuff. They've tried to remain interesting and try some different things out. I think you can hear that, but it's not enough to put you off if you're an old school Norma Jean fan. I think it's still ferocious. I think the hooks are still there. I've like played that album so much. I love it.
I feel like you're not the only one. A couple of us at the station have been playing this album on loop so far.
Awesome.
Maybe a more sillier question, and then I have one more. Are you okay on time, or?
I'm literally getting ready to go out. But if you got a couple more questions, okay. Fire them away.
Okay. So, do you remember when in the U.S. kids started to try to raid Area 51?
I remember hearing something about it. Like, I'm not too clued up on it, but yeah, I remember something like that.
So, like, people started a meme that they wanted to raid Area 51 to see cat girls, aliens, and everything that they could be hiding in there.
Yeah, okay.
And so, here's my question. If you can raid something, like anything in the world, what would it be and why?
I could raid anything in the world.
Like, infiltrate any, like, compound, or, like, search through someone's stuff, someone's famous, like, anything.
I mean... As like, as much of a cop-out as it might sound, I think it would have to be Area 51, right? Like, if you're going to expose something or find out something, or, you know, you're going to want to like, dig deep and figure out what's going on.
Okay.
Surely, for the future of, like, your friends and family and everything like that, the thing that you choose to raid would be Area 51. So, just so we know what... going on.
That's still a good answer. We still haven't found what's happening there.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if I could raid anything, I'll join those guys and let's raid Area 51.
My last question, a more serious one, maybe a bit complicated, but I think you have a strong opinion on that, is your thoughts on streaming services like Spotify, not Facebook, but Google Music, YouTube Music.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a 50-50 split, really. I think that these streaming services are amazing, and they're amazing platforms for new artists to get their music out, or, you know, even like new up and coming bands, or like really young artists that like might not be able to tour that much or get to, you know. It's a great way of exposing these great artists and letting the world hear it. I think, in my opinion, what sort of organisation like Spotify or whatever charge for your monthly subscriptions is far too low. Personally, being on the other side of it from an artist's point of view, it's, you know, we released a T-shirt recently just to raise awareness about the sort of problem that is the artist actually getting paid for any of that music. And in order to make the print cost of a T-shirt, you have to listen to a song something like 5,000 times or something. Like, I don't think I've ever listened to any song 5,000 times. So I think in that respect, it does get really tricky, like, in terms of, like, these artists might be adored by people all over the world, but the artist is not really necessarily seeing any profits from the streaming sites that are contributing towards keeping the band up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem, because it doesn't reflect how many listens the band are actually getting. Doesn't reflect that in any sort of way to help the band continue as a band. It just basically puts it on there so everyone can listen to it for, what, like a tenner a month or something, which I think is too low. But, you know, we're here now, and I listen to music on these streaming sites, and, you know, everybody does. I think for me, I give any new band album a listen. And if I even half like it, I'll buy it on vinyl.
Mm.
Because I know that, and I usually buy a bundle pack, so it's like I'll get a shirt and a vinyl. Because I know then that the artist is directly making money from me, and I've listened to it enough to want to, you know, to want to give the band directly some cash for, you know, releasing good music.
Mm. So band helping bands in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. Like, if I like a record, I need to buy it in a physical form so that the band sees some return on the hard work that they've put in to create such a record. So, always try and buy physical music in some respect. And if not, if I don't manage to, I usually go to a show if I'm around, or and if I have listened to that band's record, I'll just be making sure I can buy a T-shirt.
And so, thank you, Laz, for this interview. People can see you in Montreal on February 27th with He Is Legend, Savage Hen, and Nord Gang, right?
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
At the Fairmount Theater, right?
I have no idea where we're playing.
Surprise.
But yeah, I know that in a couple of weeks we're flying out and we start our first ever US headline tour. So yeah, exciting time. Yeah, hopefully we can meet you out there and catch up, maybe have a beer.
Oh, for sure. I'm always down for beer.
Sweet. Sounds good.
All right, so I'll let you go.
All right, thanks very much for your time, bro.
Thank you very much for your time.
No worries. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Lost the concentration, the marriage secret.
trapped inside your memory. What's my imprisonment? For many generations, Sumerian secrets will carry on your legacy. The first we did a fear, encountered in a fear, encountered in years, and obviously better. Seize the sun! Under a drum! Under a drum! Under a drum!
Tu es aux études et tu as envie de voyager cet été? Inscris-toi au programme Explore, un programme d'immersion intensif en langue anglaise. Par 5 semaines et vis une expérience hors du commun dans une autre province canadienne et fais des rencontres inoubliables. Que ton niveau d'anglais soit « Yes, no, toaster » ou que tu sois capable de lire du Shakespeare à l'envers, c'est ce programme qu'il te faut. Participe à Explore et tes principales dépenses seront même payées. La date limite pour t'inscrire est le 15 février. Dépêche-toi! Trouve tous les détails au jexplore.ca.
9 out of 10 doctors recommend a steady diet of heavy metal riffs. And that last guy is a poser. So tune in to Sin After Sin, 10 p.m. every Wednesday, for your weekly dose of old-school, earth-shattering metal. Only on CJLO. Consuming riffs may cause whiplash and or liver failure. Please headbang responsibly.
He's a god.
Psycho.
Teletubbies were there, I think. Got put
Psycho.
Into that track.
Psycho War.
Thank you, Annihilator, for that one.
It wasn't that bad, though. You don't like them, but it wasn't that bad, right?
Why are you throwing beef on air, dude?
Because we're always throwing beef with Hatebreed, stuff like that. We got to get used to it. Cover bands.
Do you want to throw some beef at La Petite Grenouille again for the Pink Floyd tribute show?
What?
You want to go see the wall live, dude?
The hell is
Thrash
that?
Thrash metal cassette. JP just pulled something up on Spotify, and it's just this dude in his underwear holding a beer. I don't know what he put in.
Me neither.
we're not going to play that song.
Also, that was that. By Annihilator.
What was the song called?
The Psycho Ward. And before that, you heard Despised Icon with Legacy. Breland.
You heard the interview.
Yeah, before that, you heard the interview. And then before that, you heard...
And then before that, you tuned in. And then
now
people aren't tuned in.
I mean, we got a bit of time before the end of the show. So you want to talk about something, Andrew?
Yeah, Phil and I went to the Enforced show at La Casa del Popolo.
Wait, Phil or Phil?
Phil.
Okay.
You don't know what Phil I'm talking about. Phil, what was his last name? Sinatrosin.
Okay.
He's got the porno stash going on there. Yeah. Still? Like he told me he was going to go to his job after the concert. I don't really know what he was talking about. But
okay.
I think I recognize him from the internet. I would watch those videos. I'm going to shut up. The concert was good. Concert was good. Have you been to the Casa del Popolo?
No.
Okay. It's just this like bar on Saint Laurent. Okay. But they own like three other venues on that street. So there's like the La Vitrola they own, which is like a bigger. So like the bigger band, quote unquote bigger. It's a bigger venue. They own that, and then they own like a bigger one. Even I think like Yob.
Okay.
A stoner metal, stoner doom band a while back. They're relatively well known. Came to play there at their other bigger venue, but this is like the smallest one, so it's basically like this dimly lit bar. Like in the back they just have like this room basically that they host bands in with the stage, and it was like really really packed, but there's a whole ton of people. Like I got there early, I texted Phil, I have something to mention to you by the way. I texted him, I'm like, I'll get here, like it's like packed, like it's like full capacity, and like those are the best shows, which is like a small room, and there's just like 150 people in there just moshing whatever. Yes, my mic is on, I hope so. But however, remember how you came to the show early last time and you're talking with Phil for a bit?
Wait, repeat that?
What? Has my mic been on the whole time?
No, it's been on. It's just that I wasn't hearing you in my headphones, but the volume on the headphones was turned up.
College radio, thanks for tuning in. You're hearing me good now?
Yeah.
Remember last time you came early and you're talking to Phil a bit there before the show?
Yeah.
Like last week? Remember how he asked you like where the show was?
Yeah.
And then you told him?
I know.
Where'd you say how tall the show was?
I don't remember. I panicked.
I think you just blurted out. It's at the Piranha Bar. Because it looks like a Piranha Bar show. Yeah. Same whatever type of bands, whatever. Same size. So I'm on the metro at like 9:30. Phil gives me a call. I'm like, hey, Phil, what's up? He's like, oh, I went to the Piranha Bar and there's no show here. So I'm going to be there like 45 minutes late. And I was like, okay. And then like, whatever, we just said bye, see you later, whatever. And then he comes in person and he's like, yeah, JP told me there was at the Piranha Bar. And it's still his fault for not checking, because I don't know why the heck I would trust you. But still, I just thought it was so funny. It was like somehow JP got intertwined in that whole like BS thing.
Both of you guys tried to get me to come to that show.
You did. And you said you were too busy hanging out with your girlfriend. Friggin' lame. Prioritizing relationships.
Over metal?
Enforced. It was Thrashcore, dude. It was a Thrashcore show.
Not again, Thrashcore.
It was crossover, dude.
But I mean, was it a good show still?
Yeah, it was an awesome show. It was a great crowd. It was really fun.
Sorry, Phil. Don't ever trust me again with shows. It's not a good idea.
I just thought it was really funny.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, he puts me on the spot.
Yeah, but you don't have to blurt out something that you don't know.
No. Okay, here's how it went. Phil is doing his talk spot. I'm there, like, setting up my PC to do, like, the playlist that Andrew does, like, the most played album.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, like, here's this show. It's at Piranha Bar, right, JP? I'm just like, yes.
You got a mic on air? Or he just,
no,
like,
no,
asked,
no. Okay. I was just off air, but, like, I said, like, yes.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds
about
right.
It was just like, so, Piranha Bar.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's how it went. I didn't say like, oh, I think it's at Piranha Bar.
Oh, okay. Still inexcusable.
Sorry, Phil. Don't ever trust me ever again. So, well, we're at the end of the show. If you want to hear us blabbering even more or do whatever we do on air, just head on to our Mixcloud, D_Iron_Club. Go check our Facebook, Instagram, My Fans Only or My Only Fans page. The Iron Club. And yeah, do you have anything to add?
I would like to thank you for conducting an amazingly professional interview.
Very professional.
It was a good listen. I have one question for you to finish off the show, though. Talking about world domination and coming up with that within the future, what should world leaders focus on? Should it be Caesar salad or occupational aeroplane drones? And why? You have 10 seconds to answer.
Caesar salad, because cheese and salad. Here's Trash La Reine.
And croutons.
Trash La Reine with Pourchasser le Dragon version alternative.
The two main things in Caesar salad aren't cheese and salad.
You're listening to
CGL. You don't think of cheese when you think of it Caesar salad.
You're listening to
CGL. It's the croutons and the sauce.
You're listening to CGL 1690 AM. Here is Trash La Reine. Have fun.
The cheese is like a third probably, like a good one, I think, but like, I don't know.